as a whole, we are a grief illiterate society. We do not know what grief is. We do not know what the natural expression of grief is. A lot of it has been hidden. TFMR isn't talked about. It's this type of pregnancy loss that still has a lot of silence around it, and it can feel so, so lonely, even within a very close relationship.
Our TFMR stories, pregnancy loss support in the heartbreak of terminating a wanted pregnancy.
The big grief layers of terminating a wanted pregnancy for medical reasons. Today, I want to present 8 big grief layers that you may have not even known that were going to be a process, part of your process, part of your grief process after terminating a wanted pregnancy. My name is Sabrina Fletcher, and I'm a pregnancy loss doula working specifically with people who have gone through a termination for medical reasons, TFMR. So if this is you, you are in the right place. And I want to talk about these big grief layers that you're probably going through. So a really big one that is very specific to the experience of TFMR is the whole stigma and politics and religious judgment around this experience. Because legally, what we went through was an abortion, and abortion is used to split people into 2 camps and to get people to vote a certain way or to get people to follow this or that religion, and all of these judgments, and all of these stigmas, everything around this experience can come back to this judgment, stigma around politics. So this is a big one that you may be dealing with. You may be dealing with this internally if this is part of your religion, part of what your pastor teaches. You may be dealing with this familiarly, like in your family, or it might even be like a bigger community or even at a state or country level. So I live in Mexico, and here people are very Catholic. Some people are, some people aren't, but I would say it's a Catholic country. Although it hasn't become one of those big issues that's splitting up like 2 or 3 big parties. Like, you think this way, you vote for us. But it still comes up, and it recently came up for me when I was driving and I saw this big billboard, and it said like, "We are the Right to Life Party." And when I saw that headline, I was like, oh no, please don't go in the direction where I think you're going to go with this. And then I read the rest of the billboard, and they went in that direction. And I felt it in my body. I felt like sick to my stomach. And I felt like, oh, those people and those people who vote that way and those people who think that way, they're judging me, and they have no idea. They have no idea about my story and about what I went through with my very loved and very wanted baby. So if you're dealing with this at any level, just know that you're not the only one. This is a big issue within the TFMR community. So that's number one. Number two, I also want to talk about guilt. This kind of goes along with the political or the religious stigma or shame, but it could be like a different kind of guilt. You may just be wondering, like, did I make the right decision? Was this... Or you may be feeling guilty about certain decisions that you made throughout the process, like to either have this procedure type or that procedure type, to have a funeral or not, to get your baby cremated or not. And sometimes we can really focus on these little, I mean, they're not minor. They are definitely not minor points, but these like little details, because the whole process was so like out of our control in certain ways. Although we did make the decision, but there's like so much that's out of our control that we may think, oh, I feel guilty about this. I feel guilty about this decision. I feel guilty about the way that this happened. So if you're dealing with this, this is also a very, very normal grief layer that we deal with in this community. And just to give you a visual, you can think of it like an onion. So on the top layer, it could be like your religious guilt. So you have to peel that off, peel that layer off, deal with that layer. And then underneath, then it's the family. And then under that, maybe it's your best friend. And then under that, there's like your own role in it. All of these different layers that we have to peel off and look at and go through and decide, you know, what am I going to do with this part of this grief layer? What is it that I need to work through in this part of the onion of this grief layer? All right. So I talked about dealing with the stigma, religion, also dealing with guilt. You may also be feeling very, very confused. And this is a very typical grief reaction. And then it may feel even more confusing because as a whole, we are a grief illiterate society. We do not know what grief is. We do not know what the natural expression of grief is. A lot of it has been hidden. You may have older family members who went through huge grief in their life and would like go behind a closed door to do their grieving and not really talk about it. I know that this happened with my grandmother. She lost her brother in World War II. And my mom would say, and I never really saw, you know, the expression of my grandmother's grief. My mom would say that sometimes on certain days, I was never told what days. I imagine now that it was, you know, his birthday or maybe like her oldest daughter reaching a certain birthday, maybe his death day, that my grandma would go and she would close the door and she would be crying alone, you know, in her bedroom. And it's okay to be a private person. You know, you may have moments where you want to be alone and that's just part of your grief process. But this is just an example of how other generations may have like hidden their grief, like shut it away. Even like our generation or whatever generation you are, you may have friends that have gone through big grief and they just don't talk about it. It's just, there's still not a lot of information about it. You may be feeling very confused, like confused brain, like not be able to read, not be able to focus on things. It may be hard to do, hard to go back to work. You're like not in the same state of mind because you aren't. You aren't in the same state of mind anymore. Your baby has died. And it's this huge, huge, huge thing that you have to deal with. You may not know how visceral, like how much of a body, like a full body experience this grief thing is. And then it catches you off guard. And then you're like even more confused. Like, is this the way it's supposed to feel? Like, wow, it feels so, so intense. I remember having those thoughts when I was, I don't know, early in grief. What is early in grief? Like the first year or so. Another grief layer you may be working on is triggers, like how you're feeling triggered, even by your own menstrual cycle or bleeding or trying to conceive again, or maybe you're pregnant after loss. And even that is a trigger, like the sensations of pregnancy, being pregnant again, or seeing other people who are pregnant, or seeing babies, you know, just the whole like fertility cycle and babies and children may now be a huge trigger to you. Like it just brings you back to your grief, just brings you back to what is missing in your life now. And how do you handle these big triggers? How do you work with them? And again, you know, going back to being a grief illiterate society, we don't really know. We don't know how to work with these things. So dealing with stigma, politics, all of that, guilt, confusion, triggers around all different types of fertility and other people's fertility. And then sort of connected is body, like your relationship with your body may now be very complex. You may feel anger, you may feel shame, you may feel like it was my fault, it's in my genes, or maybe you're blaming your partner, like there's something wrong with their genes. And how do you love your body again after something like this? How can you forgive your body in a way? You know, whatever words you want to use there to describe your relationship with your body. It's a really, really, really tough one. So going off that anger at your body, you may be feeling anger in general. So this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Anger in general. You may be just like this rage, it's just ragey and it's huge. It's, for me, it was anger at the whole entire universe and God and Goddess and Mother Earth and everything. I was just like so angry that this had happened. So, so angry. Like, why me? And it's huge. It's this huge anger. And again, it's visceral. It's in your body and you're feeling it. And what do we do with that anger? A therapist that I was going to, she said that in general, men tend to get like really angry. So you may notice this if you have a male partner, you know, they may be very, very angry. And she said that this anger sometimes manifests as depression. So women tend to get depressed. So if you're feeling like any of these extremes and feeling like you need extra professional medical attention, like mental health profession, make sure that you reach out and do that. Find somebody who can help you. A lot of my one-on-one clients, most of them actually also go to therapy. So as a bereavement doula, I help people through the spiritual and the emotional processes and step in, you know, after they've had these therapy sessions, or I'm supposed to be doing this homework, and we look at how to make a self-care plan around that. We talk about this a lot in all of my group programs. So in Ascend, which is a TFMR grief circle. So it's good to just go at it from different angles, right? All right. So we talked about stigma, guilt, confusion, triggers, your relationship with your body, anger in general. You may also be feeling very, very isolated and very lonely. And even if you went through this within a partnership, like with a husband or wife or a partner, their process is their own and your process is your own. And on certain days, you may be feeling this and they're feeling this, and then you're here and then they're there. And then it's just not crossing at the same time. And it can feel so, so lonely, even within a very close relationship. You may be feeling this with your very close family members because they didn't go through exactly what you did. So you may be feeling even isolated from your own family members, even like your mother, like if she's grieving, you know, her grandchild, but it's different. And then like people in general, TFMR isn't talked about. It's this type of pregnancy loss that still has a lot of silence around it. So people don't really know, they don't really understand all these different layers that we're working through. So if you're feeling isolated in all of this, it's very, very normal because other people just don't get it. So your isolation and your loneliness is real. I do invite you to come and join my Facebook group. I'll have a link here below to apply to join. It's only for bereaved TFMR parents. Because these grief layers can be so specific and so stigmatized, it's really important for us to find TFMR safe spaces, TFMR only spaces, if you're called to be in a space like that. Come and join our Facebook group if you're on Facebook. And all of these things also lead to the huge grief layer of your complete identity and philosophy and spiritual identity just completely shifting and changing. I thought of it when I was going through this, and things still continue to shift now, like 3.5 years later. But at the beginning, it was very, very intense. I felt like I was carrying all of my beliefs in a bag, like I was carrying them around with me. Think about the idea of baggage, but not really in a bad way. It's just like, these are all my beliefs and I carry them around with me and they're in this bag. And then when I went through my termination, it was like the world had picked up that bag and turned it upside down and dumped all the contents onto like a huge, like King Arthur sized dining room table. And all of my beliefs were now laid out on this table. And I had to like pick them up and look at them and be like, I was carrying this belief around. This one is garbage. And I just throw it in the garbage. But there was so much stuff on that table. So much. It's this huge, huge process. So some things I would pick up and like now they were broken from being shaken out of the bag. And I would say, well, do I still believe in this? Do I still believe in, you know, maybe the idea of like karma or like if you're a good person, good things happen to you. Well, I took that belief and I was like, yeah, this one is broken and this one is garbage. And I'm going to throw that into the garbage. And that is not my belief anymore. But it's a huge process and it takes a really long time. And it's good to infuse like a lot of self-care in between all of this, like looking and reassessing for sure. What word do you use for your identity shift? Does it feel like a reassessment or does it feel like just being shaken up? Or maybe another word, you know, put in the comments here below. What does it feel like to you to have your whole identity shifted and destroyed? You might even use the word destroyed. It felt a lot like destruction for me. And it felt like, you know, I hoped that it would be like a phoenix moment where I'm going through the fire and with all of my ideas and everything laid out on this table and I'm reassessing and I'm deciding what am I going to actually put back in my belief bag and continue to carry along with me. But that whole process, it is walking through the fire. It is painful. It is so, so painful. Really, it really, really is. So it's not just like, oh, and then I woke up and I was a beautiful butterfly. No, it's very, very, very painful. And it continues, just like, you know, the onion again. Peel off a layer and then there's another one. And then you peel it off and there's still another one and there are still more layers in there. And we just have to go at it with the tools that we have, with the time and energy that we have. And some of these layers take more energy out of us than others to look through and reassess again. And I also want to invite you to come into a safe space with me. So I'm putting together a course bundle collections area, all virtual, called the TFMR Support Sanctuary. So if you're looking for a place to have to cultivate tools, like different grief tools around all of these different layers, I invite you to check it out. There are different journaling prompts, meditations. There's a lot of energy healing that you can just listen to. You watch the video and you receive, right? So sometimes in our grief work, we need to go at it directly and like do the journaling or like go on a nature walk and really mull through whatever that layer is that we're working on, or, you know, do the therapy session or do the whatever healing, or some sort of even like big weekend retreat. And I have one day one-on-one intensives if you want one of those too with me. But it takes time, you know, and sometimes you just want to receive. So I have lots of videos in here where you can go to that video if that's the grief layer that you're working on, just to listen and receive some information, or also energy healing where you just receive, because we have to receive gentle healing through all of this as well. Because it's so much, so, so much. So if you're here and you're working through all of these layers, I am just sending you so much solidarity and letting you know that you are not the only one, even though, again, it can feel like you're the only one who's been through this. I want to let you know that there are other people and there are communities out there. So reach out to me. You can send me an email. You can join my TFMR Support Sanctuary, or even come and join the free Facebook group. You know, reach out and find the support that you need, because these layers are huge and they continue on. And within community, we can work on them faster, better together. We can understand more together when you write something and say, I'm going through this. And then other people say, me too. And this is what's helped me. And this is how I'm working on it. It's just, it can be really, really helpful to be in communities where other people have gone through it too. So I wish you a gentle day in your grief and lots of healing, self-care, in amongst all of the looking through all of these big grief layers. I hope today's episode has made you feel seen and more understood in your grief, in this grief of losing a baby in this way that even your closest relatives or even partner may not completely understand. If you are looking for a space where people just get it, I also run a Facebook group called the TFMR Support Circle, and I will put the link in the show notes or here below the video, wherever you're listening, watching this episode, so that you can come and join us. You can come and join us in a place where people just get it, people who have been through this, people who have lost a baby through TFMR, in a place where you can share about all these different layers of grief without judgment, without stigma, and we just get it. So come and join us there. I would love to have you as part of the community, and I'll see you in the next episode.